Welcome back to the Egyptian Hall. Our tale today comes from a time when two ingenious and brilliant showmen, John Neville Maskelyne and George Cook, became the managers here. This was an age fascinated by the occult and the paranormal. So instead of exhibiting mere natural wonders, they invited the world's finest magicians to demonstrate their dark arts at what they called the Home of British Mystery. Illusionists guard their secrets fiercely against discovery or imitation, and in the cloak and dagger world of wizardry, there are many dark tales. This one is told by Shabazz Javed, whom I helped a little when he performed here in the 1880s.
Once, it had been me who stood tall and proud, bedazzled by sunlight rather than lime beams. My realm was the dusty ring of the Mela in Lahore with Mr. Lala's troop. No tent, no curtains, no stage, just a boundary rope to mark out space in the street within which were set the trimmings for our street circus. I had been with Lalaji ever since I stumbled, or rather tumbled, into his ring when avoiding school and the right-hand cuff of my father. I was 12 when I arrived. I could neither read nor write, but I had an agile body and an active mind and had already absorbed my father's skills as a carpenter and cabinet maker. Abaji built cupboards and coffins, mainly for the British Army, so already I knew the details and secrets of wood, how to choose the right boards, ensure the precision of joints, and produce smooth sliding actions. These were skills ingrained in me from boyhood, and such knowledge was invaluable to Lalaji's circus. I would make our travelling trunks for the costumes, strong boxes for our valuables, and most excitingly of all, the illusions and trick mechanisms that were impossible to fathom, even in the glaring sunlight of the Mela, with the audience sitting or standing in a ring surrounding the action. After 5 years of refinements, I perfected my masterpiece, ready for performance. A carved effigy of the monkey god Hanuman, which sat on top of a small box and appeared to provide the answers to questions shouted from the crowd. They would gasp as Hanuman's eyes blinked mechanically in the strong sunlight and his head rotated from side to side. "For those of you who doubt me," I would announce, "I shall now reveal the workings of the mechanism to you." I then invite 3 members of the audience into the ring and allow them to inspect the machinery that filled the cabinet in the automaton's body by opening a set of doors and lifting the robes of the monkey god effigy. But all they found was a series of cranks, gears, and pulleys within the model god's body. "Ask Hanuman, the monkey god, what you will. Any arithmetical sum, any numerical sequence, even the color of your shirt." Hanuman will answer. From the audience's view, the effect was sensational. It seemed that there must be some mechanism at work, but how could it respond to random questioning with such precise and accurate answers? The solution was, of course, very simple. 10 minutes before we started the show, my uncle Arif would maneuver himself into the wooden box. Then I would close the panels of the mechanism so that you could not see any part of him or any opening into the contraption. It was Uncle Arif, the local school teacher with a gift for mental arithmetic, who would shift his position within the box and slide his own arm inside the hollow limb of the effigy. Then, moving it smoothly yet mechanically, he would clench his fist inside a sort of mitten within the model's arm so that the robotic fingers could grip a small dagger located in the waistband of the effigy. With this blade, he then indicated the correct answer from a selection of numbered and coloured cards laid out in a fan beneath the model's right arm. It was after one of these performances for Lalaji in Lahore that Sahib Rodriguez approached me and said he would like to take my show to Europe, explaining that he himself was a respected showman and illusionist with a booking for later in the year at the Egyptian Hall in London's Piccadilly. Of course, I was delighted and immediately started making plans with Uncle Arif for our exotic trip to the far west. But Rodriguez had other plans. I want the trick, not the monkey. I mistook him at first. That's fine. Of course, it will work with any kind of image on top. A Turk, an Egyptian pharaoh. Why? We could even have Queen Victoria. A surge of anger etched Rodriguez's face. How inappropriate. I want you to build this contraption in England, and then we shall exhibit it together. It'll be the sensation of the year. But I need Uncle Arif. I don't, he retorted. And I don't intend carrying any excess baggage. And so it was, 6 months later, that we ended up here in the Egyptian hall, and sure enough, it was no longer the monkey god who gave magical answers. My blue-painted Hanuman was replaced by a papier-mâché swami Rodriguez called Mephisto, a lifelike miniature parody of myself. The act now started in darkness rather than bright sunshine, and instead of me, Sahib Rodriguez stood center stage presenting. He wore a finely woven kaftan, turquoise turban, and his orange-brown face showed streaks of sallow skin where the sweat cut through his thinly applied makeup, for he was no master magician. Cheh, merely a fake fakir. Throughout the hot late summer of 1880, Rodriguez worked our routine twice every day, insisting that I sneak into the theatre by hiding in a costume skip, which he would wheel next to the illusion box in a dark corner backstage. I would then have to slip into the tiny cell within the box a full half hour before the doors of the house were open and remain there, not speaking, not drinking, and barely breathing until an hour after every member of the public and stage crew had gone. Each evening, after the show, he would retire to a lodging house nearby. But such was his fear of discovery and mean-minded spirit that he insisted I cross the river and stay in a leaky room owned by a wretched old woman with no teeth whom he claimed was his cousin. As a result, my health began to suffer, and one evening, as we presented the final trick on stage, I was unable to stifle a cough. When the curtain dropped at the end of the routine, he hissed between his teeth, "Never, ever do that again, you useless coolie," and left me trapped in the box while he drank himself to a roaring rage in the public house next door. He returned after 3 hours in order to release me and then thrash me savagely with his belt. As he paused for breath from his exertions, he noticed Alfred, the stage doorkeeper, watching us. He had been about to lock up and was the only person left in the building at that time of night. "He must have sneaked in after the show to rob the dressing rooms," he said to Alfred. Then added suspiciously, "Have you ever seen this Pendu before?" Alfred shook his head and I was allowed to limp back to my miserable digs. The following afternoon, as I lifted the lid of the costume skip and was about to enter the illusion box ready for the show, a movement caught my eye in the gloom. It was Alfred coiling ropes in the opposite wing across the stage. Rodriguez pushed me roughly down into the illusion box and swiftly closed the panels around me. The first of our tricks went well. Then, as Rodriguez announced, "For those of you who doubt me, I shall now reveal the workings of the mechanism for you." I was struck with another bout of coughing. Rodriguez started to cough and splutter himself to cover the noise. Then, just as I used to do, he allowed three audience members on stage and opened the doors of the plinth. "See? Just mechanics. There's nothing in here apart from the machinery." With a deft flick of a polished metal lever within the cabinet, I set the cogs and wheels whirring into action like a cuckoo clock about to strike, and then gripped the rod which connected up into the head of the effigy and began to make it turn. Then we began the question and answer routine with the cards. I was able to indicate each answer correctly with the knife, but the urge to cough was rising within me again. When he asked for the colour of the sash worn by the lady volunteer on stage, I was able to start the action, but with the effort of trying to stifle the need to cough, the false arm I was manipulating banged downwards and the head jolted upwards. This sudden, erratic movement caused a stir in the audience, and Rodriguez realized something was amiss. He cut quickly to our finale. Now, Mephisto, slice this cake into four pieces, one for each of our guests and one for me. He placed a Victoria sponge on the box between the automaton's crossed legs, whilst I gripped the small curved knife and brought it down carefully to slice the cake into pieces. As I cut, it oozed jam. He passed the slices around the three audience members on stage, but as he replaced the plate back on the box, I could not help coughing again, loudly and distinctly. This time there was no hiding the gaffe, and the audience started to murmur, then catcall at the discovery of the trick. Rodriguez stared about him, his eyes wild with fury like a trapped animal. "You useless idiot, you have ruined us," he hissed at the mechanism. I was stuck inside with no means of escape, but also with the opportunity for mischief. So I began to enjoy the predicament. I started singing loudly in a high-pitched voice and turned the rod full circle, which made the effigy's head revolve upon its axis. The audience began to laugh as Rodriguez leant on the box and thrust his face hard against that of the revolving model. "You ignorant darky," he shouted, as he continued glaring at the head of the model Swami that still revolved in front of him. I once more gripped my fingers around the handle of the blade and struck downwards with all my strength. The knife stabbed straight through his hand, pinning it to the top of the cabinet on which Mephisto sat. "That's for Uncle Arif," I yelled at him through the papier-mâché body. Rodriguez emitted a piercing scream that silenced the giggling crowd as his hand oozed blood. Then there was pandemonium. The audience shrieked, some with terror, some with delight, who thought it a brilliant macabre trick. Seats tipped up and the curtains were hurriedly closed. I was still trapped inside like some genie in a bottle. Then someone in the darkness and mayhem, I know not who, released the catches and let me out. I slipped away unnoticed and fled in search of sunshine and dusty streets.